super warm welcome to you here to the Orgasmic Manifesting Podcast. I am your host, Ultra Lucy Loom. Super, super happy that you're here. I'm just going to sit on my aerial yoga hammock and just swing around while I talk to you. I haven't been on this thing in a while. How are you? Would love to hear from you. If you find me on Facebook, we can be friends. But anyways, I wanted to come on and talk to you about some of the things I've been getting some really deep awareness around. And today I just want to talk really briefly about something I talked on my Facebook Live earlier today. And it was about becoming a superhero. And it is this idea, this concept that no one becomes a superhero until they have to. And that this have to comes from this pivotal point, this challenge, this turn of events, where it's always this idea of this crossroad. And the crossroad is, you know, do things this old, ordinary way or do things in a new way. And sometimes in order for you or the character to rise to that superhero level, there's a challenger, a nemesis, that's what I was talking about today, something, a situation that happens which actually elicits that from you. I'm getting just really clear on what the purpose of the challenges around are supposed to really do for us. And, you know, it comes to just being on this path of self-realization, right? There is the gurus outside of us, the teachers, the coaches, the mentors, the inspirations, the examples. There's the guru within, right? It's yourself, your inner mind, your higher self, the level of awarenesses that you bust through every single day. And what I really, really enjoy about the type of way that I decided to embark on my spiritual journey was through something that my assistant Zoe said. She said, okay, by the way, Zoe is also like one of my best friends, a super dear loved girl in my life. And I talk about her a lot. She's more than just my assistant, you know, she's like truly a partner. But Zoe and I were talking, oh crap, I forgot what we're talking about. Whew. Let me go back into the hero. Anyways, let me just go back to where I was starting. Well, the whole thing that I was talking about on Facebook Live today was about really learning to see things in a different way. See your problem, challenges, and different figures in a different way. And it is always the hero that just almost goes through an unfair type of situation. It is almost like I was talking about earlier, Spider-Man, right? Like in the movies of Spider-Man, he's like accidentally gets bitten by a mutant spider that then changes him. It's almost like it was he gets bitten by something, and at first it starts off as something like a small bother, like, ow, something got me. But this thing essentially embeds, implants something that changes the physiological, you know, it's all fiction, but it changes him physically. So it changes him from the inside, like very symbolic. Once the spider bit him, something happened to the inside of him. They then gave him the ability to display these supernatural powers. And some people will call that, superhero abilities. Other people might even call that psychic abilities, right? Someone that can float, read minds and all that stuff. Some people will say that's tapping into the God frequency where nothing is impossible or inconceivable. All those things, but it usually comes about from a situation, irritant, a problem, something. It is never like you're sitting around in your house. There's millions of dollars all around you. You feel loved, secure, and safe. Everything is going well. And then you just go, oh, man, I think I should be a superhero. I haven't read a story like that yet. It is always a crisis of the heart, right? It is always like, I'm still thinking about Spider-Man. The reason that in one of the movies I was watching, the movie I'm thinking about is where the bad guy takes a bunch of kids on a school bus and the kids are hanging off a bridge and they're about to fall. But then he also has the girlfriend, the love of his life, Mary J? I don't know. I think that's the name, but I'm also thinking marijuana. Is that just me? But the power of it is that he's got to make a choice. He's got to stop thinking about himself. And he's like, I can't lose the love of my life. I can't lose the kids. And it's this crossroad where he has to leave himself behind, right? The limited self behind. He has to not only fully embrace the gifts and really exploit them, right? Meaning use them to the fullest of their capability, because he's in a situation where, oh my goodness, he's not going to be able to save them both. But if that's what he wants to do, that's what he'll do. And it's not going to just require supernatural abilities. It's going to require you to want to have all the options, to no longer say, I get to save that and save that, do this and or do this. No, you get to do it all. I get to do this and this and this, and I can save that, and I can save myself, and I can save everybody, and everything's right. Where this one play, as we get into the quantum field, as we're playing in the quantum imaginary place where everything is possible, things lose their rules. The rules, if there are any in this quantum field, are perhaps rules that we get don't fully understand, but what we know is that they're different than the rules we're normally used to, you know. And so there's so much potential, there's so much energy, there's so much power there. But this usually, this thing is usually unlocked through some type of trauma or something, right? I think most of us who embark on this spiritual journey, it is not because we're just like, you know, I had such a wonderful life, I think I'll be a spiritual teacher. I think that a lot of it comes from either you experiencing challenges, or you even being aware, noticing other people's challenges and feeling the disconnection and, you know, the unpleasantness of, okay, I could be okay, but I can't be okay until the people I see, to my friends, my sisters, humanity is okay. Like, I can celebrate the crap out of me, but I can't fully allow myself to go there for a reason, because now I suddenly, as I step into this superhero vibe, I can see it's just not all about me. But it does require you this extreme challenge. It's almost like this life and death situation that puts you in this place where you finally say, okay, I'm going to really need to be sitting in the driver's seat for this one. I'm really going to be able to, I need to totally, fully have control in the trust and belief that I have in myself. Because this situation, no one, nothing can save me from. And if I don't get this, I die. I die, right? Spider-Man, if he doesn't save the girl, he doesn't save the kids, he doesn't save himself, he dies. And you know what I really love about the story of Spider-Man is how quickly turned on him. Many of the stories of Spider-Man are like, who could be doing these crimes? Is it Spider-Man? And Spider-Man's always like, but I've been saving your asses for so long. How could you even consider that I would do this, right? So giving birth to the superhero, your super nature, your superpower, comes from this place where it's no longer about you, but it is through you. It's through you accomplishing and stepping into your superpower. Because it's so much more, especially when you start to consider that these nemesis, that these anti-heroes, is that the term? I don't know. I'm also thinking, I don't know, maybe I'm a superhero nerd that I never freaking realized that I have brothers growing up, right? Because I'm also thinking of Unbreakable now. I love that movie, Unbreakable, especially because it has Bruce Willis, and I'm a big time fan, or at least I used to be. okay, I'm still a fan. Unbreakable, he is unbreakable, right? Like, he has this powers, he's so strong. And he, what I love about the story is that, again, it's like you have these superpowers, they're so incredible, but to you they don't feel like a big deal because it's just you and how you are and who you are, and you never really had to be pushed to the edge of your potential, right? But here comes Mr. Glass. Now, Mr. Glass in this movie, in this story, is quite the opposite of the unbreakable character, which he is breakable. This guy breaks every bone. You can just look at him the wrong way, and he's so fragile and frail. And it's his hatred and bitterness that gives life to the hero that lives inside, the superhero, the reluctant hero. It gives birth through it because, in a weird way, they're working together, right? In a weird way, it's part of your team. It's part of the people who are here to get you to live the greatest journey. The you can outpicture the greatest reality that you can. And there are some people that will do it gently and lovingly and kindly. And there's some people that would just take you to the edge and you'll have to rise to the occasion, right? And so it's really important to start to see how challenges and situations are not just welcome, but needed. I'm telling you to jump for joy. I'm telling you to do backflips. I'm telling you to get so freaking excited when something really challenging knocks you out and you're on the ground and you're crying and you're just like, I'm so stupidly done and fed up with this thing. Like, I do, it's so even dumb that this is a thing to me, like, intellectually. I'm so feeling myself out of this vibration so much so that it's irritating me. It's done. You get to this feeling, I am done. Well, you can say it with conviction and it feels real because it's a different vibration. And you know, you might not be able to articulate it, to tell someone like, well, you might use words like, I feel empowered, or this or the other. But it's a feeling that's different than what you normally felt. And some people might say, well, I felt fear and okay, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know it happened because it's different. You feel different. Something's different. You can't quite put your finger on it. But now you feel strong enough to go through the battle. You know that, oof, might not be easy. It might not be quick. But you've somehow believed that the courage inside of you, the power that you finally decided to own, that it was there all along, or planted in there, it doesn't matter, the supernatural abilities, that you finally are going to be okay with stepping up and having to be this superhero. And you're not doing it. This whole idea of leadership, and I talk about leadership and other people talk about leadership, right? Like, it's great, wonderful, you know, whatever. But like, I can tell you, I understand the story of the reluctant hero. I totally understand it. Because I'm the oldest out of five. I didn't want to be the leader. I didn't want to be the first, but here I am. I didn't want my mom to be raped and be a 16, 17-year-old teen mom, but here I am. I didn't want her to go through physical abuse and emotional abuse and feel abandoned and alone and get married to this guy who continued to abuse her while she was pregnant. I didn't want any of that, but here I am. And it's in those moments where I think about the challenges, there was a part of me, maybe even she was here yesterday and she is no longer here. I killed that bitch. But there's a part of me that feels so responsible for all the wrongness in the world. Like, somehow I, responsible, created it. And the feeling of responsibility, somehow, you know, that's a feeling that we've been trying to escape. You've been trying to escape because we have so many people saying, well, it's not your fault. Even, let me tell you, let's just keep it real. In marketing, they tell you how to talk, right? They tell them it's not their fault, that they are okay, right? They're telling us to do marketing from psychology, from triggering, from moving you emotionally. And the reality is that none of that is required.
right? Think about it. None of that's required. If you really truly believe in your message or what you're saying or what you're doing, if it doesn't matter because you know that 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 you know and that's it. Like, getting into the psychological and all that stuff and the logos and all that stuff. Like, trust me, I'm a person that will give you a hard time about your logo and your website and yourself. And I will tell you to get your shit together if you really want to scale up and be premium. I will be the person that says that. But I'm telling you right now, it does not matter. That is just placebo. A pretty bow on a box doesn't mean that whatever's inside the box is awesome, right? But sometimes we wrap something up really pretty and put a bow on it to already give you an indication of the value that's inside, right? Usually this reluctant hero, the reason I can relate to that, and earlier today I was talking about The Handmaid's Tale, it was around the same thing of the reluctant hero. Like, I didn't set out to do that. Don't even feel comfortable, just like the leaders, be a leader. And I use the terminology because, you know, we use the terminology, whatever. But like, I'm just like, not really trying to be this thing, even if I want fame, even if I want money, even if I want accomplishments, even if I want significance, even like the reality is that I just want to be in this place where I am feeling empowered and in control of my life. But see, what happens is in the story, you, once you become the main character of your story, once you decide, and usually comes at that moment where you just had enough, where you're at your crossroad. It could be money. It could be like, I don't make any money. I had enough. I'm working this. I'm learning the website. I'm learning the terminology. I'm doing it because I'm convinced and committed, and I'm just going to go all the way. And what happens when you have that determination is not that what you find is gold, it's that you become gold and what you touch turns to gold. Do you understand? This is why I continue to tell people, you have the Midas touch, so go touch yourself. It is already within you. It's already you. It's already your own touch. It's already your own energy that starts to impact and change the things around you. So, what's the whole point of this conversation? The whole point of this conversation is a part of the a quote from the Bible that I've heard it all my life that I really, really love. It says, count it all joy when facing trials and tribulations. And there's a whole other stuff that goes on. I don't remember the rest, but I love that beginning part. It says, count it all joy when facing trials and tribulation. And immediately I know, wait. If there's a higher authority that we call God or goddess or whatever, saying, telling me to count it as joy, count it as good when facing, what does facing mean? Being right there up in front, face first, facing, not running away from hard things, but facing them. Count it all joy when facing trials and tribulation. And there's, like I said, there's a whole lot of good stuff that is said after that. But like, the beginning is just what you need right now. Count it as joy. Because you got to really see what is happening as a consequence, as a result of the hardship, as a consequence, as a result of that pain in the ass, piece of shit person. That you come back to this sense of, am I responsible for making this? Well, you are responsible for everything in your world. You are responsible for everything in your mind. Everything in your mind creates a world around you. So, yeah, you are responsible. No one likes to hear that. And that's okay. You don't have to like it. You still have to hear it. Because that is the truth. That you are responsible for everything in your life. And the sooner that you claim that responsibility, the sooner that you can elicit that adversity, that worthy opponent. Because that worthy opponent is going to push you to the edge. And at the edge, you're going to see that you're so much more than that edge. That edge doesn't exist. That you are supernatural. That you being here, that consciousness spits you out into a human being with thinking faculties, with creative faculties, with the same authoritative power. You start to see yourself as all the possibilities that are available, because you no longer can see that you are what you used to be. It was through this challenge, through this person, through this difficulty that you got pushed to the limit to only see that there are no limits. And I want you to start taking and looking at your worthy adversary. This is another one of your gurus. This is another one of your team members, from the sense of here in agreement to help you get to where you need to be, not only physically, but spiritually, because it's what happens in the spiritual realm that gives birth to everything that happens in the physical realm. But it's not separate, you know. I think it's really super annoying when people are so high and mighty that they can't put their feet on the ground. And there's some people that are so grounded that they can't take a flight every now and then. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be able, when I say live one foot in heaven and one hell. And what I mean by hell is that you know that there are going to things that are happening that are going to take you through what feels like hell, like something uncomfortable. But you have always and forever a foot in heaven, right? So you should be able to tolerate a little bit of hell. And maybe hell is too extreme. But if you look at the real definition of, and I just read this and it blew my mind, the real definition of heaven was, what was it? I can't even remember. But the definition of hell was just to be held, to be confined, to be contained. So like prison, like, you know. So I was like, oh. So people are walking around the fiery death, the hell, and hell is literally separation, segregation. Sounds like racism. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But it's through those opportunities that you give rise to a giant that lives inside, that's sleeping, that's, you know, not really leading. This giant, this powerful force inside of you might be feeling inferior, might be feeling all kinds of emotions only. And it's through some motherfucker. It's only through something challenging that you give yourself an opportunity to show yourself that you are tapped in, tuned into God itself. Therefore, you have and are available to all the wonderful things you desire. And I would say, don't pray your problems away. Don't wish them they were gone. Start to see them in this place where you're just like counted as joy when facing trials and tribulation. Because for me, when I start to get on the other side, like I'm still in the mess, I'm still in it, like, oh no, what's happening? I don't like how I feel. What the hell is happening? But I decide to see myself out of it slowly but surely, and I feel my own strength, and I'm just like, oh wait, I really did create this. Oh, it's really in me to uncreate, to recreate, to change, to mold, to shape. But guess what? Here's the true power of a true mystic. It comes from not you knowing that you can go through it, use your superpowers and tolerate it. It comes from you not needing to change your external circumstances to feel strong inside. Not needing to change your external financial situation to feel rich inside. See, the power of poverty is that if you need to see money to feel rich, that is your, like, you were born into poverty so you can experience that. No, that is not the thing. If you need to feel love in spite of how much money you have, you might have been born to a really wealthy family that made you feel alone and insecure. Like, we all have this thing to overcome, and it doesn't matter what it really is, because the whole point is to overcome it. And you can get a clue as to what it is that you're here to overcome based on what you were born into. Simple pimple. My friend Laura says, simple pimple. If you were born into poverty, chances are you are meant that this poverty is your nemesis, is going to give birth. It's going to be your aid and supporter in bringing you to the spiritual place that you need to be. But it's not going to do it to you like a gentle, nurturing coach, spiritual mentor would be like, come along, come on, let's do it. I got you. I got your back. This person is going to make you the modern mystic, the true spiritual seeker, the true truth seeker. These people are going to make you that. Either you become really who you know you are, or you fall apart. And the thing is that if you fall apart, you'll just keep bringing them around, loop-de-loop-de-loop, until you get the lesson, because your soul loves you that much. Your soul loves you so much. This even this person or this situation that is so bad loves you so much that no matter how much you pray them away, they don't go away, because inside of you, there's something that's saying, but I can beat this, but I can do this. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. You don't want to do it. Trust me. I am in a situation where I'm just like, well, I'd rather just not go through it. Wouldn't that be much, so much more fun? Well, it's kind of like saying, well, I wish I was born rich. Wouldn't that be easier if I was born rich? Well, wonderful. Yeah, true. But if that's not where you're sitting, that's not going to serve you at all to think about it in that way. At all. So I want you to start counting it as joy. When you see a problem, just make your problems, just make them have a positive result. You have the power to tell, you know, yourself how you're going to feel. You can just do that. You can say, you know what? I feel like shit. I'm going to cry. I'm going to go in the shower. I'm going to turn up the music and I'm going to have the ugliest cry I can ever have. And however long that takes. But at the end of that shower, I'm back in my point of power. I'm going to allow myself to be expressed. I'm just allow the pain, the confusion. But then I'm going to go, okay, God in me, God frequency, who is that it's never separate from me. Help me see what I can't see. Help me understand what I don't understand. Help me see how this person, the situation, this conflict, this nemesis is my greatest teacher. So I can step into the mirror and see my own abundance and see my own power and see my own abilities, right? And I'm not saying about spiritual abilities. I'm saying the ability to just change your mind, ability just to focus on a different thing. Ability to somehow, even though you're upset, you get mad, the situation is happening. But I think that what you're really upset about, at least for me, what I'm really upset about is that I shouldn't be going through this, right? But that's the truth. That's the fact. That is the point, that you shouldn't be going through it. But if you are, then you need to take a really good look as to why this is happening from the perspective of like, this is good. This bad thing is good. There's something that is coming out from me. There's a giant that's awakening that is being born from this. And I'm excited about that. And even though this asshole, this motherfucker, this bitch, all these people are working my nerves, I know that through them, God is allowing me to rise up as a superhero, because I've been a reluctant hero so far. I don't want to lead people. I'm fine. I just want to be better. But now it is on and popping, because the next level, you, your supernatural powers are for a reason. You never saw Superman just sitting around and drinking beers. I don't know why I'm talking about superheroes so much. But you never saw Superman was aware, listening, and ready to help support and protect people for no reason, strangers. There's always a woman that's like, oh, but I love her, right? Women. You understand that it is through the challenges, like, you know, the aliens trying to take over the world, that Will Smith, and I don't know, mixing all the movies, but it's through this life and death feeling situation. It's through this thing. And you even have read books, or even in The Handmaid's Tales, there's women who are sex slaves, and some of them are just like, keep your head down, do what you need to be, survive, you know. But there's a couple of them that are just like, fuck this, like, for real, like, no, you know. But it took them being sex slaves for a while. This revolution wasn't like, oh, been a slave for a day, I don't like it, I'm out of here. Years, right? So it represents that sometimes these nemesis, these challenges, it the faster that you face what they're here to do, the faster that you realize that you, listen to this. By the time you realize what they're here to give you, it's over. It's on the other side. So bring yourself to the awareness and the realization of what they're here to do, and then double down on what you know you need to do. Sometimes I'll talk to you about my personal experience. My ex, who I call a narcissist, I am not a psychologist, so I can accurately say that, but he displays behaviors, in my opinion, like that. He always wants to give me a hard time about me seeing my son. He lives with my ex. It's always a problem. It's always an issue. And I'm just like, oh, I'm so done. But then I flipped it. Then I started to see, wait,
wait. There's a gift in here. There's a prize in here. There's superpowers that come with this. I'm going to go and see it. I'm going to go look for it. I'm going to go expand my awareness. I'm not going to let this take me out. I'm going to come into this. I'm going to volunteer. And I'm going to have one more example, which is Jesus. Jesus the Christ. Dun, 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 dun. Right? Everybody knows about Jesus. And the reason I'm bringing this up to you is because Jesus knew, if you follow the story in the Bible about Jesus and his death, Jesus knew he was going to die. He knew it all the time. He always knew it, right? Like, I think he just, since he was born, he was like, oh yeah, it's going to be soon when I'm going to have to die. And it's going to have to be one of you guys, one of my friends, that jumpstarts this whole thing. And I can imagine, how do you live knowing that you're going to die and when you're going to die? And I think this was a point of power. Most people are like, don't tell me when I'm going to die because then I won't do anything. I'll just be depressed, right? I feel like Jesus always knew he was going to die young and that he had things to do. So he just got with it. He just said, well, I'm going to die soon because I've been revealed. I know the plan and it is my job to be the demonstration, to be the example of the connection that you can have with Source. It is my job to be so the mature mystic, so much the profound example that I have to go into the desert and be with God for 40 days, that I need to do these things, that I need to live in a way. And so if you know that from the day that you're born, that you're up, you're here to do something big and amazing and crazy and hard, right? You work your entire life at being ready for that moment. That moment where if people are being unjust to you and stabbing you and killing you and hurting you and spitting on you and crucifying you, that you can still say, forgive them, Father. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. And you can say that without any fear because you know that there's no death. And you know that everything that's happening in the physical, it has such a powerful, pivotal importance in the cosmos, that you're so in tune with God and the God power that you know you're going to come back to life in a couple of days. So you're not tripping about dying. You're not tripping about dying, and you still can sit there while you're getting beat and hurt and kicked and all the bad things. You can still sit there and say, I love you. Because forgiveness is love, right? Forgive them, Father. And he was like, he wasn't even like, I forgive them. Like, you forgive them. This is hard. But the superpower, we had seen Jesus walking in water. Well, we have read of Jesus walking in water, turning the water into wine and all these things. But ultimately, he's going to do like the biggest miracle, which was to show us, to demonstrate that death doesn't really exist. That there is no death, not really. So, such a powerful message of love, but it's not just love. Like this idea, oh, so God loved the earth and the world. Yeah, true. Yeah. God loves that he made us. We get it. It's this other idea, not just the love. It's not just the love. It's the fact that since Jesus knew that he was essentially one with this consciousness of God, Jesus, no matter how much pain he could have been in, he could not submit itself to this physicality because he was transcendent. He already knew that in this plane or the other one, there was no separation. There was no difference. There's no difference if he was floating around like a ghost or if he had walking legs. There's no difference whatsoever. In this quantum field, in the God frequency, everything is not only possible, but available, and you have permission. This quantum field always says yes. And so imagine for 30 years of your life, you knew that 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 you were one with Source, that you were Source itself. That's the power. That's the power of tapping into the God frequency and knowing what's available through this frequency, knowing what's available for you. And it's not relief from pain. Sorry to tell you that. It's more than that.
there is no pain in the realm of anything that you desire. You can make a realm with no pain. Like, there's no limitations. But it's sometimes through being in these challenges, right, up in the cross, which is extreme, but it's going through these challenges that feel so big and so heavy that we give birth to the supernatural power that's inside of me, inside of us, right? I imagine that through this pain, through the struggle, even though Jesus was already super in tune, right? But I imagine that that last bit, where he came back from the dead, it was kind of like, okay, like, this guy's really connected to God. Like it was just that moment, like, it was, like, undeniable, right? The story demonstrates, it's a metaphor, it's all the things that it demonstrate that there's a power working in you, that sometimes through the hardest thing can only be born from these hardest things that you go through. And when you know that, right, you can look at the challenge like, damn, I might feel like I'm up in the cross and I feel like I'm getting stabbed and pulled and I'm dying. And maybe that's exactly what you need to do. You need to die to the person who was scared, and you need to let that person go away and come back, give rise to your supernatural abilities to resurrect the essence of who you really were all along, and leave behind the things of the world, essentially things that don't matter. And so this was a little more preachy than I expected it to be, but I felt inspired to come and talk to you for a little bit. And last but not least, I want to invite you to my new program. It's called League of Extraordinary Mystics. This is a powerful program about connecting to your God frequency. This is a powerful program about saying yes to becoming a rock star. And I mean that in kind of half-jokingly way, from like rocks and crystals. But being an extraordinary, right? An extraordinary mystic is what I would see Buddha, what I would see Jesus in those ascended masters. I feel like those are extraordinary mystics, right? And it's through your life as an extraordinary mystic that you then get that ascended master title. And again, it's not for the title. It's not for the title, but I think that we all have different missions that we come on in our lives. And if you've gotten the mission of mystic, you're just naturally curious and you're naturally wanting to be in connection with God. Nothing necessarily gave birth to that, except feeling like you're separate from it. Maybe feeling a little bit like the outcast or whatever. But this is a powerful 30-day mastermind program. It's an activation. I would show you what you need to do, how you need to start thinking about not just who you are in God, in vibration, in energy, in spirituality, in frequency, but losing the edge. Losing the very edges of anything that limits you, it makes you, right? It takes you to facing them head on. And that's not necessarily easy to do while you are alone, and you don't have to. And you're never alone anyways. But I do want to invite you to hit me up, find me on Facebook if you are interested in joining. It is $33 a month, or a single payment of $333, which includes two epic bonuses. One is called Castrology. We're going to talk about the business of soul. And we're also going to do another course that is a bonus that you get. And it is called Mystic Money. And this is all about how money gets to work for mystics, how money gets to work for people of soul, of spirituality, how money itself gets to be for you. It is, I'll give you a little hint, money is a servant and you are the master. But so many good things that I want to talk to you about and share with you in these programs. If you need more information, get at me. And remember, go touch yourself, because you already know that you have the Maddest Touch. I love you. Bye.